You're listening to the All Things Good Sports Podcast, a product of All Things Good Company.
Before we get started, I just wanted to give a quick shout out to everyone in the medical field, doctors, nurses, people stocking shelves at grocery stores, truck drivers delivering supplies, people in manufacturing developing masks and ventilators, everyone putting their lives on the line for the rest of us. Thank you sincerely. Now, let's get on to sports and the less serious topics. Enjoy the show, everyone. Hey, welcome to the ATG Sports Podcast. This is Jeff Pulver.
This is Tom McGowan.
I'm joined by Tom today, who's my co-host. He also hosts a podcast called the All Things Good Pod. Tom, do you want to talk about that for a little bit?
Yeah, you can find the podcast on iTunes, Spotify, Anchor, or wherever you find your podcast. But, you know, we just share a lot of good stories, most recently with some, you know, famous actors, celebrities, directors, entrepreneurs. Each interview I ask each of them, you know, their thoughts about failure and success. So feel free to check it out and let us know what you think.
Yeah, I listen to every episode. You know, Tom's my friend, but I'm actually a fan of the show. He does a really good job with it. So yeah, check it out. And Tom also was the founder of All Things Good Company, which is our parent company. And he's been a partner with the ATG Sports the whole way. So yep. Tom knows everything. He's involved with everything. So we're going to talk about a few things today, but we're going to start out with basically this coronavirus pandemic that everybody pretty much in the world's been dealing with right now. And it's really interfering with sports fans' lives because there's no sports on. There's no NBA. There's no NFL. There's no March Madness. There's no, no baseballs being delayed. I mean, how is this affecting you, Tom? How are you dealing with it, man?
Yeah, crazy. This is like the first time I think we've ever had no sports or anything to watch. Hopefully it returns sooner rather than later. I don't know what I'm going to do with my life.
Yeah, I'm particularly disappointed with March Madness. I mean, I'm a big fan of all sports, but that's a lot of fun for everybody. Even casual sports fans look forward to March Madness just for the fun of, you know, filling out the brackets and watching the first round and having that glimmer of hope that there's a 1 in a billion chance you're going to win $1 million and all that. And, you know, for all those players, like so many of them make their names and get a chance to go to the NBA because of good performances in that tournament. So that's really too bad for the players that won't be able to make a statement like that.
Yeah, I was kind of surprised that they didn't just like postpone it and that they just canceled it. You know, like I figured they'd take like the NBA's approach and kind of just delay it. But.
Yeah, we'll have August Madness or something like that, right?
Yeah, I'd be down for that.
I would too. See, that's the thing is, I wonder if because the school year ends, I wonder if they're not allowed to do that. But I would think that most players would be down. And they also are probably wondering about, you know, players had to declare for the draft and the draft is being postponed, but you can't hold the tournament after they're drafted because then they're professional athletes. So I get it. It gets complicated, but man, that's a bummer.
Yeah. I was pumped too because my Terrapins were looking like they were going to get a number two seed or something this year.
Ooh, okay. Yeah. Well,
and now both of our best players are going to be gone next year. So it's really like a lost season.
Well, you can claim the championship and nobody can tell you you're wrong. Yeah. So, I mean, in the sports world, even besides professional athletes are just having trouble. They can't go out and go to their, you know, local YMCA and play basketball. They can't go out to Planet Fitness anymore and, you know, get a pump or get a run. So, you know, there's that 20 push-up challenge that's going around that Rico sent me that I did. Do you get your 20 in yet, Tom?
No, I haven't. I've lucked out so far, I guess.
Oh. Well, we'll have to send that your way.
In terms of the NBA, when do you realistically think it will return? Because they're saying at least a month.
Yeah, I'm thinking that the last thing I heard, and in general, it sounds like things are going to keep getting pushed and getting pushed. You know, we're in Maine, and Maine is actually mildly affected by this in the terms of number of cases compared to other states in the country, and our schools basically are all pushed back till the, like, tentatively the beginning of May. So if our schools in this mild area are that far, I'm thinking NBA is probably around June. And I've heard that if it goes to June, they're willing to finish the season and have the finals in August, which sounds awesome to me, because then this is the only downtime we have, because then you got the finals and you're going right into the draft, and then you got free agency and you got the summer league, and then basically training camp begins right there.
Yeah, that would be awesome, just having basketball all throughout the summer.
Yeah, maybe there's a silver lining to this after all.
Do you think that they will end up, there's a chance they could cancel the whole season?
I think that there's so much money to be lost from their playoff games that I wouldn't be surprised if they canceled the remainder of the regular season and said, this is the standings, let's run it. But I would be surprised if they were willing to lose all that revenue from the NBA finals and the playoffs and all that. So I bet it'll happen. But, you know, if this, you know, who knows how this is really going to play out. If this goes much farther than June, then you're starting to really cut into the next season. And I'm sure the players are probably have something a little bit against the players union probably has something against having no off season and time to recover. So, you know, maybe this is their off season and maybe that offsets it. But yeah, I'd be surprised if they canceled the whole playoffs, but you know, they're canceling a lot of huge events that are money making. So it wouldn't be unprecedented.
Yeah. Yeah. And I also think, you know, like this, you know, delay in time off, it helps some teams. I think it helps your Lakers specifically a lot, to be honest.
Yeah, the old guys that need to rest.
Yeah. Dude, LeBron fully rested. Ooh.
That's actually a really good point. I hadn't thought of that.
He's just going to be a bad man in the playoffs now. So probably helps you guys out a lot. I mean, it helps the Clippers out too, I guess, in terms of their injuries.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe they won't have to rest players after, but they probably will anyway, right?
And Kawhi will find a way to.
Yeah. They'll have back stiffness from sitting on the couch too long.
Yeah, yeah, he'll find a way.
Yeah, so I mean, it's not just NBA, you know, we talked about March Madness, but, you know, the Masters was getting pushed, and the beginning of the MLB season is getting pushed, and the NFL is they basically went straight through, and they went through free agency. So I guess one of the next topics we're going to talk about is Tom Brady signing with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. What is your initial thoughts on that?
Heartbreaker, you know, I mean, it's going to be weird seeing him in a different jersey, but I'm just going to go with the fact that there's probably a lot more going on behind closed doors with him and Bill Belichick than, you know, we know about, because clearly that relationship had been damaged for a couple of years now, it seems like.
Sure. I'd heard that the fraying of the relationship kind of started around 2017 or 2018.
Yep.
Which is not surprising. And really, Tom is, you know, he's trying to get his money now, and I get it. And it's he has a lot of money. So I think more than the money, it's about being respected. And, you know, if you're willing to take, he was like the 12th highest paid quarterback in the league when he was winning MVP and winning his like fifth Super Bowl. So, you know, I think he's well earned the pay. And I get that this is Belichick's thing, that he lets you walk if he feels that he would be paying you above value. He lets you walk. But I always thought that there would be an exception, you know, for the greatest quarterback of all time. So in their defense, you know, he is 43, and regardless of signing him again, I was skeptical a little bit about this upcoming season, because you'd be paying a 43-year-old quarterback that much. And you saw all the people that they've lost already this offseason. They're just out of money, and he doesn't have any weapons. But I, you know, because I'm a Lakers fan, the Lakers were awful Kobe's last few years. And it wasn't just his fault, but part of that was the amount of money that he was getting. And he was just falling apart. You know, he worked real hard, but his injuries were just piling up. He had the Achilles injury. He broke his leg. He tore his shoulder. He was, you know, he was hobbled out there. But What worked for that for the Lakers was they respected him and they paid him for what he had done for that franchise for his whole career. And I think Tom was looking for that from the Patriots and they just weren't willing to give it to him.
Yeah, I think Tom Brady, it wasn't about the money for him, like you were saying. I think he just wanted to be valued and, you know, finally be like, yeah, you've earned this, you know, like you're talking about, you know, Lakers with Kobe. It's kind of like for me, Derek Jeter with the Yankees.
Yeah.
You know, they weren't that great his last couple of years, but they basically just paid him because he won us 5 championships. So, like you said, I think Tom Brady just wanted that same treatment and he never got it.
Mm-hmm. I kind of worry about what this does to the Patriots' reputation among players in the league.
Right. No, yeah, I think it's like, I mean, if I'm a free agent, I'm going to be looking at Bill Belichick and be like, now that Tom Brady's there anymore, is it really seem that glamorous to play for the Patriots? Because now mm-hmm. you have a coach, like you said, now you have a coach that could just fire you at any second. You know, your practices are insanely hard. Like, I think Tom Brady was the reason people wanted to play there.
Talking about Belichick and Brady, there is the chicken versus the egg conversation about, you know, most people consider Bill Belichick the greatest coach of all time, and most people consider Tom Brady the best quarterback of all time. And some people kind of take credit away from Tom because he had Belichick, and other people take credit away from Belichick because he had Tom. And, you know, it's interesting because Tom's 43 now. He's not technically in his prime, so we wouldn't see what prime Tom Brady would be without Belichick, but we'll get to see, you know, one way or another, what Belichick is like without Brady and what Brady is like without Belichick, and they'll get to prove themselves to the world a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, I kind of hope Tom Brady does win a Super Bowl, but it'd just be cool to see him kill it somewhere else.
Sure, I mean, I'm still going to be a Patriots fan, but 20 years, man, our whole lives, basically, he was, as far as I can remember anyway, he's been the quarterback of the Patriots, and I've rooted for him. It's hard to shut that off, so I won't be able to. Talk about the weapons that he has there, man. He's going to have Mike Evans and Chris Godwin. I mean, oof.
Yeah, and they might get another receiver, they're saying.
Yeah, I heard they might draft one too. Their offensive line wasn't the best last year, so that's one thing to worry about is Brady going to get hit and knocked down a lot? But I heard that one of the things that he might have asked for in the signing was bolster that in the draft, make sure that, you know, I'm not getting hit every like 3 snaps. But that's another good thing that Tom Brady, one of his skills is getting rid of the ball quickly. He hasn't been able to move his feet for like 5 years, but he still gets sacked pretty rarely.
Yeah.
Where do the Patriots go from here? People are talking about maybe Jared Stidham is going to be their quarterback. Maybe they're trading for Andy Dalton. You know, Cam Newton's on the market and Jameis Winston's on the market now, but they're both probably making more than what the Patriots would want to play him. So where do you think they go from here?
Yeah, it's tough because I don't know how much money they have. So it seems like Jared Stidham's the most reasonable option. But, you know, I've also heard of, you know, like I said, trade for Andy Dalton, or I've even heard of maybe trading and getting Jacoby Brissett back, which he only makes about $7 million a year, so that could maybe work out if, you know, we could somehow get him for not giving up a bunch.
That's actually a reasonable idea because, you know, he does know the system pretty well because he was here for a little while, and he did start at least 1, maybe 2 games for the Patriots when Tom Brady was suspended, and he struggled the second half of last year, and he kind of fell out of favor of Colts fans, but he did show a lot of promise before, and maybe if you get him back with Belichick. The thing is just we don't know what Stidham looks like. He played a little bit in preseason. And he took a couple snaps at the end of a few games, you know, but it's just a huge question mark. It's hard to go into a season trusting someone that you've never seen play before. And, you know, Brissett's his ceiling isn't amazingly high from what we've seen so far, but you know that you have an NFL quarterback in him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think Belichick's familiar with him, so it could work out, but it'll just be interesting to see what happens going forward with that.
Yeah, I mean, I'm curious what they're going to do around him, because if Tom Brady was struggling by his standards with the weapons that they're provided. And some of those weapons are even going away. I mean, Benjamin Watson was only there part of the year, but he's retiring. Julian Edelman's like 33 years old now. And N'Keal Harry, you know, he showed some promise at the end of the year, but we didn't see much because he was gone for half the year, then recovering from injury for the other half. So it's just huge question marks there. So I don't know what they're going to do from receiver. And like you brought up the money. They don't have that much. And that's why you see all these guys, you know, a Landon Roberts and Kyle Van Noy and all these guys walking away elsewhere because they just don't have the money to spend on them. So if they spend on a receiver and they spend on a quarterback, that defense that was their strength last year starts to go away. And I don't know. It's hard to imagine Bill Belichick having a team that's less than 8-8. But right now, I'm not too optimistic about the season.
Yeah, I'm thinking right now the Bills might have the best chance at winning the division.
I think you're probably right. And that's sad to say, but we've been spoiled for a long time in New England.
I guess we can let somebody else have it for now.
Yeah, we'll give them a year. You know. Other NFL news was the new players union contract that they signed, and it's going to extend the season. One of the things that we'll do is extend the season to 17 games. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's kind of weird. I mean, it's obviously just another way to get more money. I mean, I thought 16 was enough, but I guess they want to throw in another one just to make some more revenue. So I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah, that's what it is. But one of the things they're trying to do to offset that and make the optics better and, you know, kind of accommodate the players more is they're giving a little bit more to the players in profit sharing percentage wise. And they're going to cut back on practice with pads to kind of make up for the additional contact that they're going to get in games. But, you know, game contact's always more. But this will be more revenue for the players that are making the minimum, you know, making low money by NFL standards. And NFL is not the NBA. You don't have guaranteed contracts. I think the average career length in the NFL is only like a couple of years. So there's a lot of players that voted on this that know that they've got a few years to get money and a few years to make an impression. You got an extra game. You got more profit sharing in this deal. So it's hard for them to turn down. And the top of the league, I thought, you know, as a fan, 16 games was fine. I didn't see any problems with 16 games. But you see J.J. Watt and Aaron Rodgers and some of the bigger stars of the league weren't fans of this deal because they already have been hit plenty of times and they don't want to be hit that many more times throughout the season. Another thing it did was it also expanded the playoffs. So that's actually interesting, too, because personally, I thought the playoff system was fine again, too. I didn't think that the NFL needed a big overhaul, but maybe it'll provide for more exciting playoffs with more teams getting involved.
Yep. Guess we'll see how it goes.
There was some other NFL news. There's been a lot of news, a lot of signings because free agency happened. But you know, one of the big trades that happened was the Cardinals traded David Johnson and I think a second-round pick for DeAndre Hopkins.
Trade was weird to me. I was like, what?
It was weird. I don't know what Bill O'Brien was really doing because I feel like he didn't get even close to the value that he should have gotten for one of the top three or four, at least, wide receivers in the NFL.
Right. It's like Deshaun Watson's probably pissed right now. It's like, I mean, I guess I don't know if that means you just have a lot of faith in Deshaun Watson to still get it done or like what, but I don't know why you trade one of the top wide receivers in the league.
I don't want to totally discount David Johnson because a couple of years ago, he was the best running back in the league. But last year, he just wasn't the same with injuries. He was a good receiving back. So he'll be another receiver, really, for Deshaun Watson. But he's not the explosive running back that he used to be. So I don't know if Houston's going to like this trade in the long term. Speaking of that, well, Stephon Diggs got traded. And
yep.
They got significantly more for Diggs than the Houston got for DeAndre Hopkins. So the optics of that weren't great. And no. Another big move was Todd Gurley getting cut. and then
almost
immediately signed with Atlanta. What do you think of that?
Yeah, I don't know what's going on with his relationship with the Rams. I mean, it seems like ever since the Super Bowl against the Pats, it's just been a horrible relationship. Like, maybe he's injured and or whatnot, but it just seems like ever since they benched him in the Super Bowl, it just hasn't been – he just, like, hasn't been himself.
Sure. I mean, the second half of that year, the 2018-2019 season, I mean, he was – I think he still had 19 touchdowns that year. But the second half of the year, he was getting a lot fewer touches, and his yards per game were going down. And then in the playoffs, it really fell apart. And I think a lot of that was injury. He has arthritis in one of his knees, and they've tried to kind of technically put him on a pitch count for that the last year and a half. But he barely played in the Super Bowl, and he was the best running back in the NFL, almost like unanimously considered that at the time. And why are you not using your number one offensive tool and you end up putting up 3 points in the Super Bowl? So I don't know. And then this year, he used to get 300 touches plus every season. And this last year, he got less than 200. So it was significantly scaled back. And he still got 14 touchdowns in 15 games. So he's going to be a huge addition to the Falcons, I would think.
Yeah. It looks like that division is just keeps getting more stacked.
Yeah, that'll be a stacked division right there. Thing I wanted to talk about, and it's been a while now, but I did mention Kobe before when we were talking about Brady, and I did grow up a Lakers fan and a Kobe fan, and I know that you grew up a Celtics fan. When I grew up, he was my favorite athlete, you know, and he had that whole Mamba mentality thing, and it was a whole mentality, it was a whole persona, and he did things that, you know, they sounded like fairy tales or storybook things that nobody would do. Like Jay Williams has told the story of he was a rookie in the NBA and showed up to a gym and Kobe was there and he stayed there for hours and he put up like 1,000 jumpers and Kobe was on the other side of the court. This is pregame and he was putting up shots, game like level, game speed moves the full time that he was there. And he waited till Jay Williams finished to walk off the court. And Jay Williams saw him at the game that night. He's like, man, what were you doing? Why were you there? And Kobe's like, I was not going to let you outwork me. So there's a million stories like that. There's, you know, Phil Jackson pulling up to the Lakers practice facility at 4 or 5 a.m. and seeing Kobe sleeping in his car after he already did his morning workout before the team workout. So his work ethic goes without explaining any further. And it was interesting to see how he changed as he aged after his Achilles tear. He really started to look past the game of basketball and see what he wanted to do the rest of his life, which was tragically cut short. In that short period of time, it was just a few years, he was able to win an Oscar. He was, you know, making children's films, The Punies. You know, he was investing in body armor. He was doing all kinds of things, and he had huge plans. So it really is sad that we didn't get to see what he was going to do with the rest of his life. And it's really sad to see his daughter Gigi be involved in that tragedy as well. But, you know, there's a lot of things that we can learn from Kobe. And he was definitely a controversial person, controversial player throughout his whole time and fame. But there's a lot of good to be taken to the message that he sent to the world.
Yeah, I mean, it's just such a, you know, tragedy. It's probably, you know, at least in our lifetime, but maybe all time, just one of the biggest sports tragedies to ever happen. I mean, just how sudden it was. But, you know, from like a Celtics fan viewpoint, for me, like, I mean, obviously, like, playing against Kobe, you just want to, like, hate his guts. But, like, it was more of like what Red Sox fans think of Derek Jeter type thing. Mm. Like you want to hate their guts, but you just have, like, a shit ton of respect for him. So,
oh, yeah.
You know, I always loved watching him play, but I obviously had to root against him. But just crazy that everything that happened, like you said, he was doing some pretty crazy things off the court too. So, yeah, I think it's probably the biggest sports tragedy I've seen.
Yeah, I don't want to lament on it too much because it's been talked about for months now on end. But he was a huge figure in the sports world and even beyond sports for many people. And yeah, like you said, with Jeter, it's funny when players got later in their careers, especially these players that played against the team that you hated for so long. They become a staple in your life when they're playing the sport. You know, rooting against Jeter was something I was used to. And then when he was retiring, he had that walk-off hit in his last game. I was cheering for him, you know. And Kobe has that 60-point game, and all the people that, you know, rooted against him his whole life are cheering for him. So sports world, we have sports hate, but it's not real hate.
Oh, yeah. You know, sports hate is like, in the moment, you might hate them, but then, you like you said, at the end, you kind of realize that, like, you know, they bring the best out of you, or, you know, just your whole sports experience makes it better. Like, it wouldn't be better if there wasn't someone to play the villain part.
Oh, sure. Yeah, I'm sure Caleb really loves LeBron off the court.
I think that's a relationship that will never heal. But we'll just let that one go.
Yeah, he's beyond logic when it comes to that. But we love you, Rico, calling out our buddy. But yeah, I mean, is there anything else you want to touch on?
I think we covered it. Make sure to everyone listening to check us out on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter at HEG Sports Media. At All Things Good Co is the main page. Make sure to check out the brand and let us know what you think about the podcast.
Yeah, absolutely. And we have a Facebook group. If you look up the ATG Sports podcast, we have a Facebook page for ATG Sports that you can follow and follow news that we post. We have a group for listeners that, you know, if you want to ask a question to us, you can join the group. You can post right in that and talk to us and give us suggestions on what you want to see with the podcast next. And, you know, we're very responsive. So we love interacting with our listeners. We love building a fan base. And we've been gone for a long time. We've had a lot going on in our lives. I got married. I moved. We've got the coronavirus going on now. But we're ready to get going again. And we're reaching out to a lot of pro athletes and stuff. And we'll have some cool interviews coming up.
That's right. Let's get it.
All right. So this has been the All Things Good Sports podcast. Thanks for listening. And happy social distancing, everyone.